Morning. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 6. And we're going to finish this today, and tomorrow we'll hit Ephesians. Galatians chapter 6, it's from verse 1. Brethren, even if a man is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and thus fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone, and not in regard to another. For each one shall bear his own load, and let the one who has taught the word share all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, and especially to those who are the household of the faith. See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. Those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh try to compel you to be circumcised, simply that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For those who are circumcised do not even keep the law themselves, but they desire to have you circumcised, they may boast in your flesh. But may it never be that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither is circumcision anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And those who will walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them, upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause trouble for me, for I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brethren. Amen. Amen. And so yesterday I mentioned that this chapter 5 and 6 is really dealing with our response to the grace, our response to the gospel, our response to coming out of the law. How exactly should we live in that way? And when we get to chapter 6, he's dealing with the issue of our response to this, or the way that we walk in the Spirit is actually through service, by giving ourselves to others. And so he starts off, and he says, brother, if anyone is caught in any trespass or any sin, now the onus is on the more mature. You who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. The word restore has a connotation of setting a bone back into place. And so, in other words, something is off. And quite presumably, something is a bit painful. I don't know if you've ever had a bone misplaced, but you know, I've unfortunately broken like 10, 15 bones in my body, and so dislocated many different things. And when it's out of joint, it causes tremendous amount of pain. And that's really in one aspect that you should really look at the situation, that when we talk about restoring someone, you know, especially in the idea of this, anyone's caught in a trespass or sin, there's something that's out of place, and it's creating a lot of pain, either creating pain for the individual or creating pain for other people that are around. And so I think that the way that Paul's writing this, I think he chose a very good word in that essence, because it gives us a lot of insight. That, you know, just this idea of setting a bone back in place. And it says, and when that happens, your spiritual restore such a one, but with a spirit of gentleness. This aspect, he's actually making a nod, really, to these false apostles. I'll get to that a little bit later on. And so he says, bear one another's burdens, and thus fulfill the law of Christ. It's this aspect of service that we offer, and really, it's not something that you have to do, per essence, but it should be something that you want to do, that you are responsible for your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. I know that that is quite a heavy burden to think about. It's probably beyond our abilities, beyond our control, but he says, you know, bear one another's burdens, and thus fulfill the law of Christ. This is God's heart. This is the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are not just living our own life on our own, but we are actually a part of other people's lives. And one thing that we look in the body of Christ that you have to see, we're all interconnected in some way. Maybe because we don't really use the body motif, you know, all that much and all that well. But there's an aspect, and you know, later on, Paul will say, you know, if one member suffers, then all the members suffer with it. Later on, meaning, you know, Corinthians is written later, right? And so one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And there's this aspect of the body. And so, you know, there's an interconnectedness that we have as the body of Christ. And so this operates in a local function in terms of the local body, but also operates in the global body of what's happening. And this happens. Like, I don't know if you get emails from like CSW or Voice of the Martyrs or something, and you hear about, you know, something that happens in India, you know, our brothers in Christ, their churches got burned, all these things, and then, you know, there's a part of us that, oh, you know, and not just, oh, how sad, poor them, but it's like, oh, that's me, you know, in a way, it's kind of just like it's kind of happening to me, you know, or to us in our situation, and so we pray out of that mode. And there's this connectedness that we have. So he says, bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. This is what Jesus would do. You know, the idea of going from the law of Moses to the law of Christ is this, I mean, really, like, and I've been sharing this whole time, so you don't have to, but you get to. You know, I feel like for me, that's the biggest takeaway out of Galatians. You know, I don't have to, but I get to. And I get to fulfill the law of Christ by helping brothers and sisters. And in again, locally and also globally in that concept. And so it says, for anyone who thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work. And then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. This little aspect, he's actually referring to these false apostles that are coming in. And later on, He'll tell them that, you know, they want you to be circumcised because they want to boast in your flesh. In other words, it's kind of like, see, look what I did. You know, this is, they listened to me. You know, I was the one. And we, like, this is a real temptation, isn't it? I find myself caught in this all the time. That, you know, I'm talking to somebody and someone has changed their behavior, whatnot. And there's this instinctiveness in my sinful nature that says, oh yeah, I'm actually the one that told them to do that, and so they listen to me. And then when that's happening, I'm boasting really about their behavior, but it's like they change, but I'm taking credit for it. In the same way, he's talking about these people here, you know, these false apostles, that they're not doing it for you, they're doing it for themselves. You know, they want to boast, they want to make themselves feel better about this. This is such a stark contrast to bear one another's burdens. You know, don't take pride in what's happening to others. Just be the person that, I mean, in some ways, be the person that gets dumped on. You know what I mean? Be the person that just gets thrashed all the time, that people just put all your weight on. Be that person. Bear another one's burdens. You know, so I'm about to go into a commentary, but I think I should stop myself before I get in trouble. All right, let's continue on. For one shall bear his own load, or for each one shall bear his own load, and let the one who has taught the word share all good things with him who teaches. Now, remember, Paul, this is chapter 6 in many ways is a summary statement. Okay, he's closing off this letter, and so he's kind of just picking at some things, you know, that are been said about him and whatnot. And remember, going all the way back, one of the big things was that he doesn't take any money. We talked about it at length with the Corinthians, and that was a sign of his false apostleship. And he, you know, he says before that he has a right to do that. But this idea is more, verse 6, is more coming from kind of the rabbinic idea of teachers. And you know that when someone has a rabbi, and so, let's say, I mean, we're not Jewish, right? But in essence, I would be considered your rabbi in that context. I'm not really paid a salary in this setting, but you would support me, you know, or you would support your rabbi in all by all different means, you know. And so I'll try to make it a more modern setting. One of the ways that you could support is like you'd wash my car, you know. I mean, acts of service, you know, these type of things, or you would bring food, or you know, and the laborer is worthy of his wages kind of thing. And so it's this kind of same idea. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with him who teaches. And this is a very common verse that's used when churches take love offerings for people, guest speakers that come and share the word of God. And quite appropriately so, you know, as you are receiving God's word, you know, it should be appropriate that you're also giving of whatever it may be, you know, share all good things with whom he teaches. And that could be confirmations, affirmations, it could be finances, you know, it could be food, it could be all sorts of different aspects. And I really feel like that's a really good way to honor people that come and do share the word with us. And so as a church, you know, we make sure that we take care of their travel, you know, coming to Hong Kong and back, their accommodation, you know, their meals, you know, and we'll break bread together in fellowship. And, you know, these are all different kind of aspects of us sharing all good things. We appreciate the word of God that's coming. We appreciate people taking time out and speaking into our lives, you know. And for me personally, being a very, very frequent guest speaker in other places, you know, I recognize that, and it's not easy, you know, to do those kind of things. And so I'm spending a little time on this because I want to kind of fix your mentality a little bit, you know, in regards to this. It's not easy, right? I mean, I know that when I get asked to go to a place, you know, to share, to minister or teach, I know that people are expecting something from me. You know what I mean? I'm no dummy, right? I'm not just coming to just share a simple message. I feel like in the most, and kind of in many ways rightly so, that they're really expecting something from me, you know, in that regard. They expecting, I mean, I don't, it depends on who it is you're going to, but they expect something little more than just sharing the scriptures, right? I mean, they have their own pastors to share the scriptures. And so there's a sense of expectation, you know, that comes upon an individual that's been invited to come. And in the same way, we invite people to come, and yeah, we expect something. You know, we expect you need to be on top of your game, man. You know, don't, okay, I'm going to go off on a tangent. I'm going to stop again and things. So it's quite important. Like, for instance, you know, I'm actually today, if you can pray for me, today, tomorrow, Friday, I'm actually speaking at DTS. And so I'll be heading off shortly after prayer, you know, for, I think, what, 3 hours a day or whatnot. And so, you know, I mean, there's an expectation. You know, I need to deliver the goods, in essence. I'm not stressed out or anything. I mean, that's really up to the Lord. But it'd be important for us to really treat those who share the word of God with us, you know, to treat them well, right? To be a blessing to them in that respect. You know, let the one who has taught the word share all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption, but one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. He's using this farming motif that most of these people would know very well, right? That you reap what you sow. It's very simple. Paul uses this when he talks about money, but now he's using this in the context of talking about good work. You know, we shared this before. As a farmer, if you sow, if you plant apple seeds, you're not going to grow an orange tree. We understand that, right? And so you sow, you plant carrots, you're not going to grow celery. There's a principle of reaping and sowing. You sow finances, you're going to reap finances. You sow good works, you're going to reap good works. You sow forgiveness, you're going to reap forgiveness. It's kind of a one-on-one, you know, transaction that takes place. And so it's important that we sow, because I only say this because most people talk about sowing just in terms of finances. It goes far beyond finances. You know, it's talking about much more than money. It's what we sow, right? What you give is what you're going to get. You know, and so if you think about this just in a very natural way, if you don't have many friends, I mean, just let's make it very plain. If you don't have many friends, you should sow friendship. You know, you should go out of your way to make friends, to create relationships, and that's what you're going to sow. It's amazing, you know, people come to church or whatnot or come to some other place and they just say, oh, you know, people are just really unfriendly, you know, or makes, you know, such comments. But then, you know, like you talk to them, is well, did you say hi to anyone yourself? Well, no, I mean, I'm new. I should. Well, you reap what you sow, in essence, right? And so, I mean, there's that aspect. And I think that if in the case for us, just think about, is there something that you lack right now? I mean, it could be finances. It could be peace. You know, I mean, it could be many, many different things. Whatever you're lacking, why don't you sow something first and then wait for you to reap that? Not necessarily I'm talking about a sacrifice per se, you know, but there should be something about this idea of reaping and sowing, right? It says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. You know, you want love, you know, or I'll put in our context, so many singles. You want to be married? Start sowing healthy relationships. As a man, start sowing healthy relationships with women. You know, don't think like, oh, I'm gonna turn it on when I get married and I'm gonna love my wife. No, that's BS. You're not. You know, it starts from sowing healthy relationships with women, you know, treating them like sisters, etc. And flip side as well. And once you start sowing that, you're gonna start reaping what you really, really want anyway. Right, and so I mean, just think in this concept, right? Whatever you lack, start sowing that right now with other people. Start sowing it with random people. Well, he actually continues on. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially to those who are the household of the faith. So be good to everybody. You know, this old idea of sowing good works. And remember, he's talking in the context of service. Service to brothers and sisters. Service to the world. In other words, this is an outward demonstration or outward manifestation of our love of God and our receiving the gospel, receiving the grace, being separate from the law. And so this context is, so the service, this is how I walk out my faith. You know, how I walk out grace in my life. And so the way I'm going to do that is I'm going to serve people. I'm going to serve others. I'm going to, you know, while we have the opportunity, I'm going to do good to all men, but especially in the house of God. And you know, in this kind of an overall concept, this idea of if you can't take care of your own household, you know, Paul, I'll use a different context, but same principle. Paul says you're worse than an unbeliever. You know, so this whole idea of, you know, we're being good, be good to the house of God first. You know, be good to brothers and sisters in Christ first, you know, and then to the household of faith. I mean, I honestly know people, and I don't know, whatever, I mean, I kind of understand them, but then I kind of don't. You know, I know people that really, really love non-Christians. You know, I mean, they just bend over backwards. They go out of their way. But when it comes to the household of God, there's a lot of disdain. You know, just a lot of anger. You know, I'm just like, what's your problem? Right? I mean, for non-Christians, they will be so overly gracious. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I think that's a good thing. But then to the house of God, they're so judgmental, they're so critical, they're so, you know, just biting and you know what I mean? Like this temperament, and but so gracious outside the church, but so not gracious inside the church. And Paul says, no, that's not, I know you guys are thinking of some people right now, right? And so this, you know, this is not a false statement that I'm making. They probably go to your house church. And so, But this idea of, and especially, right, especially to those who are of the household of the faith, right? Be good to everyone, but take care of home, right? And we could actually draw it out, even talking about our family, right? A lot of us, we're so good to our friends, but we're so crap to our family, right? Our brothers and sisters, me too, right? You know, I'm the first guilty one here, I confess. And we're so good to people around. We're so civil to people outside. But even in our own house, we're so hard on people. You know, and I think that's not very healthy. That's not very good. The people that really should get the love, and I understand the dynamics, you know, but it should be those in our house first, be it your family or the household of faith. And then Paul continues on. So see, with large letters, I'm writing to you with my own hand. And so most likely, most scholars believe that maybe when he's getting to chapter 6 or getting to this part, he's actually taking over and he's writing by himself. And this also gives us more evidence that Paul's thorn in the flesh was his eyesight. The more I read Galatians, the more I'm pretty convinced that that was really what was going on in 2 Corinthians, that he's really dealing with the eyesight issue. And so he says that most likely he has a scribe, you know, what's generally called as amanuensis. He has a scribe that's usually writing, and now he's writing, and he says, see what large letters I'm writing, basically saying a couple of different things. One, he's telling them, okay, because I got this problem, so this is why it's happening. But two, this is how important it is that you understand and read what I'm saying, because I'm personally writing this letter. There's this personal touch of Paul that's being added into the final touches of this letter that he's sending to Galatia, right? So, you know, so it's dealing with his weakness, but it's also dealing with the importance of this letter and what he's doing. And, you know, and then the rest, he just continues on, hey, those guys that try to compel you to be circumcised, you know, he's basically saying they're hypocrites. They don't even do it themselves. They don't follow the whole law. Right, and so they only want you to be circumcised, and this is really the main issue why Paul's writing. So he's closing off with this. He's saying, and you know, not only do they not fulfill the whole law, which you should, because if you're going to take one, you got to fulfill the whole thing, right? And so it's not just that case, you know, but really, bottom line is they just want to boast in you, you know, they want to take credit for I changed them, I did this or that. And he says, don't fall into that kind of stuff. You know, walk in this way. Walk by this rule, verse 16. Peace and mercy, and those who will walk by the rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. For now on, let no one cause trouble for me, for I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus. There's a couple of different ideas about the brand marks of Jesus. You know, the scriptures, you know, in Isaiah and Ezekiel, this would be a common phrase, and it would just mean that they're kind of dedicated. Most likely, Paul is saying this literally in the sense that probably his whip marks, you know, because a couple of times he's been whipped, and so he literally carries the mark of Jesus on his own body. That's one translation of this, or one idea. Another idea is simply what I just shared, you know, that this was a common thing, you know, where Isaiah will say, you know, they'll write on their hand belonging to the Lord, or they'll say in their heart, you know, this kind of thing. And so there's this idea that Paul's saying, I'm dedicated to Christ, I'm given over to God. And so, I mean, actually both of them sound pretty legitimate, you know, in my humble opinion. And so I said, okay, that sounds good to me. And then he closes off with his greeting, grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, be with your spirit, brethren, amen. And he finishes the letter. Okay, so let's close our eyes. Let's think about what we can draw from this passage. So I want to touch on this universal phenomena, I don't know how else you call it, but of reaping what you sow. So again, as I shared time, what do you want to reap? You know, let's be a little proactive. What do you want to reap? Start sowing it. If you want to reap finances, start sowing finances. You want to reap healthy relationships? Start sowing into healthy relationships. You want to reap service? Start sowing and serve. You know, God sets up the universe in such a way, there's these universal truths. And one of them is this law of sowing and reaping. Just think about what you want to reap. And then right now, start sowing it. It is universal. I guarantee you're going to start reaping it. Now, at the same time, you're sowing anger. Guess what? You're going to reap anger. So whatever's going on, whatever, just think in the context of what do I want to reap? I mean, really reap. Whatever it may be, start sowing it. Paul talks in chapter in context of service, the serving. You know, being a service to others. And so maybe the sowing and reaping is not really hitting you right now. Think about the household of faith, especially. And then others. Are you one that you treat people outside the church better than you treat people in the church? Or in your own family? I think it's time for repentance in that regard. So whatever the Holy Spirit is saying to you this morning as we finish off Galatians, I want to encourage you to go to the Lord in prayer.
The heaven shines. creation bows to worship you. How wonderful, how beautiful, name above every name, exalted high, how wonderful, how beautiful, Jesus, your name, name above every name, how wonderful, how beautiful. Name above every name, exalted high, how wonderful, how beautiful, Jesus, your name, name above every name.
Let's pray this morning. Let's actually spend some time, and if you know a brother or sister that's struggling right now, that's got a bone that's not set, let's pray for them. Let's ask the Lord to restore them, to put that joint, put that bone back into place. Let's ask Holy Spirit to use us to bring them back into the arms of the Father, into the care of God. And if there's someone that's been backsliding or falling away, or that's just so given over and just committing a lot of sin and hurting themselves and hurting other people, let's spend a moment and let's cry out to God and say, Lord, just bring them back. Or bring them back. Ask God for strategies of how we can restore these ones to the Lord. They might be in your house, church, might be in your family. And let's spend a moment today and let's really cry out to God on their behalf. Because there is a lot of pain these days with a lot of different people. And so let's pray for restoration to come. Well, let's lift up. Thank you. Let's ask God to restore our community, people that are going through different illnesses and cancer and chemo and needing a transplant. So let's pray for that same idea of restoration, but especially now in their physical body. And let's ask God's healing word to come. Let's pray for God to restore their bodies and this next group, but also their relationship with Him, that scales would be torn off their eyes, that they would see the glory of God. And that's really a battle for their souls, for their salvation, and also for their healing. And then pray for others that are saved, that are going through different illnesses, and let's cover them right now. Let's pray for God's favor over our brothers and sisters that are looking for work, that God would open the doors for them, that God would really encourage them during this time. And like we prayed yesterday, and even in this time that where they do have a lot of time, they'd really be able to focus on God and what God is doing in their life in this season. That this would be maybe for them a season of rest that they may desperately need. But let's ask God to provide for them. Let's go to our mission prayer focus, and let's pray for Cambodia. Let's pray for Pastor Oh. Pray that he would get his paper in and he'd be accepted into a PhD program. Pray for New Life Church and Pastor Tang and their ministry, especially their evangelism clubs. Ask God to continue to use them. Pray for the orphanage. Pray for Grace and Bloom and all the girls there, that they would just continue to grow in the Lord, not be so influenced by their family members. Pray for the Philippines. Lift up our clinic to the Lord and Elder Zhang. And let's lift up Bhutan and ask God to continue moving this country. And let's pray over these places. Let's pray for our church ministries. Let's pray for the IP team and Cascade, the Well, and the local outreach, the three different parts of local outreach. Let's ask God to touch the leaders. Let's pray for all the volunteers. Let's just pray for a spiritual covering over them, and that in every place that they go, every place that they serve, the people whom they serve, that God would be so well pleased and anointing would flow out. And in every encounter, either with the homeless or even with people that are going for inner healing, that Spirit of God would just hover over these situations. So let's just lift them up. Let's pray for our retreat. Let's pray that every person that goes that would encounter God, that God would have a special touch, a special word, a special message, that for everyone that goes, that even the kids, even the babies, that they would be filled with the Holy Spirit and God would just move upon them in such a powerful way. Let this be a real undeniable encounter with God that transforms our lives. Let's pray to that end. Lift up our speakers. Pray for God's grace and anointing to flow through them, all the logistics. But more than anything else, that the people of God here at SP, that we would meet with God in such a powerful way that we'd be changed forever. Well, let's lift up. Let's pray for our house churches that are meeting tonight. Let's pray for just glorious meetings. Pray for the leaders. Pray for everyone that shows up. pray for the time of fellowship, and they would draw close to each other, and that the Holy Spirit would just move in their lives. And just lift up the different house churches and the leaders and ask God to move upon them. Thank you, God. Father, while we still have the opportunity, Lord, let us do good to all men, and especially to those who are the household of the faith. God, we want to sow good works, God. We want to sow love, Lord. We want to sow service. We want to sow, God, all these things that we want in our lives, Lord. And so we pray that you teach us, God. Lord, teach us to live sacrificial lives, Lord, that we may reap an abundant harvest in your name. We thank you, God. Watch over us the rest of this day, Lord. We want to give your Son, Jesus, glory, God. All the glory that he deserves with our lives, our mindsets, our attitudes, our actions, and our words. And so we thank you, God. We bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a great day today, and enjoy the rest of your prayer time.